From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the course of these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the subject of the beauty, basis, and blessings of free justification. The text is Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Dr. Cairns has already expounded the beauty of how God imputes the righteousness of Christ to guilty sinners apart from any works they have done. Then we find that the basis of this justification is revealed from the Old Testament scriptures in the account of Abraham being justified by faith. The Bible statement is amazingly simple. Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. As a further example, Dr. Cairns cites David as an example of God's grace. Even though David was called a man after God's own heart, his righteous standing before God had nothing to do with his good works. It was purely an act of the grace of God. It's true that God had to chasten David severely for his sin, but that took nothing away from his standing as a justified man. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from the book of Genesis in chapter 4 and verse 2. Abel was a keeper of sheep. As a shepherd, Abel sanctified his work to the glory of God and offered a sacrifice of blood upon his altar. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. This early type of our Lord is exceedingly clear and distinct. Like the first streak of light which tinges the east at sunrise, it does not reveal everything, but it clearly manifests the great fact that the sun is coming. As we see Abel, a shepherd and yet a priest, offering a sacrifice of sweet smell unto God, we discern our Lord, who brings before his Father a sacrifice to which Jehovah ever hath respect. Abel was hated by his brother, hated without a cause, and even so was the Savior. The natural and carnal man hated the accepted man in whom the Spirit of grace was found, and rested not until his blood had been shed. Abel fell, and sprinkled his altar and sacrifice with his own blood, and therein sets forth the Lord Jesus, slain by the enmity of man, while serving as a priest before the Lord. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Let us weep over him as we view him slain by the hatred of mankind, staining the horns of his altar with his own blood. Abel's blood speaketh. The Lord said unto Cain, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The blood of Jesus hath a mighty tongue, and the import of its prevailing cry is not vengeance, but mercy. It is precious beyond all preciousness to stand at the altar of our good shepherd, to see him bleeding there as the slaughtered priest, and then to hear his blood speaking peace to all his flock, peace in our conscience, peace between Jew and Gentile, peace between man and his offended Maker, peace all down the ages of eternity for blood-washed men. Abel is the first shepherd in order of time, but our hearts shall ever place Jesus first in order of excellence. Thou great keeper of the sheep, we the people of thy pasture bless thee with our whole hearts when we see thee slain for us.
My sorrow, he bore my grief. sin's penalties were laid on him. The babe was born in Bethlehem by this little town. For the King of kings and Lord of lords to leave his heavenly crown. Born in a manger low, a king, how can it be that he came to earth in humble form to save a wretch like me?
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
you see that there can be no increasing our justification. It's the cardinal error, or at least one of the cardinal errors of the Church of Rome in dealing with justification. In the definitive statement of the Council of Trent, and don't get mad at me for going away back in history to cite what was written in the 16th century. I do that because that is the last truly definitive theological statement of justification that the Church of Rome has made. It won't touch what the Council of Trent has said. The New Catechism will try to expound it a little, but they will not touch what the Council of Trent has said, because they recognize that there can be no more perfect statement of the Romish position than that which the fathers at Trent turned out. But it's one of the cardinal errors of their system that our justification may be increased, or it may be decreased. According to them, it is increased by the merit of the works that we perform after baptism. It is decreased by the demerit of our sins after baptism. And it may indeed be eradicated altogether. But in Scripture, our justification stands on another basis entirely. The Father may chastise His children as He did David. But remember what Paul said to the Corinthians when he was talking about the chastening hand of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Even when the Lord has to take the ultimate rod of chastening, when He has to take that ultimate step to chasten a wayward Christian and snuff out his life because he has sinned unto physical death and God takes him out of the way, He says He does this in order that you may not be condemned with the world. In other words, very clearly, in David's failure, the Lord did not impute sin unto him. That's the revolutionary thing. That's the thing that doesn't make sense to the worldly mind. God chastened him for sins, but He did not impute sin unto him. In other words, He did not bring him back onto the legal footing of a condemned sinner. David was still a believer, justified on the basis of a perfect righteousness that was performed by someone other than himself, a righteousness that never fails. What theologians call an alien righteousness. I must say, I understand why they say that. I'm not altogether happy with the terminology. It means a righteousness by someone other than ourselves. But Jesus Christ, thank God, is not alien to His people. He is the head and we the body. We are one with Him in the covenant of God's redeeming grace. And that righteousness never fails. Now, why this is so difficult to grasp is very obvious. You listen to what I've said tonight. And immediately, if you are thinking at all, immediately into your mind there comes the howl of an objection that Paul heard again and again and again. We pick it up more fully when we get to chapter 6. What shall we say then? What's the answer to this objection? That what you're saying is the death of all morality. If my acceptance with God does not depend on my personal godliness, then it doesn't matter how I live. That's the objection. If God has declared me justified and accepted and perfectly righteous, and that's without any reference to anything I have done, am now doing, or ever will do, if I don't obtain and I don't maintain my acceptance with God by any works of mine, then you're telling me I can live whatever way I like. That's the objection. Let me tell you, that is always an objection that's found in the mouth of an unjustified and unsaved man. Because, and you can think this one through, you have never once in your life ever met a justified believer in Jesus Christ who could make his justification an excuse for sin. Never once. And the man who says he's justified and makes that the cover for his sin is a plain, downright liar and hypocrite. And he's not saved at all. That's how Paul will argue in due course. It's impossible. This doesn't overthrow morality. But I'll tell you what it does overthrow. It overthrows Satan's bondage. It overthrows Satan's power. You see, if Satan can say to a sinner, if he can make you believe that your justification depends on how well you work, then you'll never be assured of being accepted, because when you've done your best, you'll realize, I haven't done enough. If justification depends on my loving God, then no matter how much I love Him, do I love Him enough? If it depends on my praying, have I prayed enough? If it depends on my obeying, have I obeyed enough? When have I ever done enough? And the answer is never. And that's the bondage of legalism. If you're going to ever fall for the lie that you obtain justification by works, you will never know what it is to be justified, because your own conscience will condemn you to the bondage of admission, I cannot do enough. And if you're a believer and you haven't grasped the second part, that we don't maintain our justification by works, if you haven't grasped that, then you know what it is to battle this day by day. I have come up against this, I couldn't tell you how many times over the years. In fact, I have to look inside my own heart and realize I've had to battle it there as well. A Christian feels. And immediately, the thought comes, how could I be saved at all? What am I going to do? Well, you point that person back to Christ. Now, you'll know what I'm talking about if you're a Christian. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And you start doing penance. You come to the Lord, but oh, that's not good enough. I have really got to do something to impress God. I've got to do something to get back to where I was. I've got to keep on doing and doing and doing. In other words, if I am not praying enough, God doesn't love me anymore. If I'm not giving enough, God doesn't love me anymore. If I'm not obeying enough, then God doesn't accept me the way He said He would and the way He used to do. It all depends on how well I'm working. And of course it doesn't. It all depends on the acceptability of the righteousness of Christ. Is Christ acceptable? Has He done enough? Then if I am in Him by faith, I have a perfect righteousness. If He has made unto me righteousness, I can have no better righteousness. I can't add anything to that by praying 24 hours a day. I can't add anything to the righteousness of Christ by working from now to the day I die 24 hours a day. I can't add to the righteousness of Christ. His is a righteousness that never fails. And when I come to realize He set me in this standing before God by His righteousness, and He maintains me in it by His righteousness. That's what sets me free to be able to pursue laboring for God. It becomes not an excuse for sin, but a motivation to sanctification. A motivation to service. A motivation to love Him and labor for Him. Not to gain or maintain acceptance, but because He has gained it and maintained it for me. The basis of justification is not our godliness, but the imputed righteousness of Christ. And of course, the blessings of this free justification are given to us in the three terms that both David and Paul employ to speak about what God does to the believer. Transgressions are forgiven, sins are covered, and sin is not imputed. Now I'm going to run through those things pretty quickly, because I am trying to work to something of a half-civilized time scale here to finish Romans quicker than you think. Or sooner than you think, should I say. We may not be too quick. We may take 2 hours per sermon, but we'll get there. The blessings of free justification. Transgressions forgiven. Remove from us. The Old Testament verb has the idea of them being carried away. The New Testament verb here in Romans chapter 4 has the idea of them being released. That is, God has dismissed them. He has sent them away. He has removed them from us. Here's the first element, the first blessing for the justified. All your transgressions, all your disobediences, all your acts in contravention of the law of God, all those transgressions and sins that have piled up like a mountain over the years of your life, God has remitted them. God has removed them from you. They are not yours anymore. They're gone. He has dismissed them. If the devil or anybody else, you know the devil's called the accuser of the brethren, if he comes talking about to the judge about your sins, the things that should condemn you to hell and keep you out of heaven, God in effect says, there's nothing to talk about. I've removed them. They're gone and gone forever. Transgressions forgiven, removed from us. Bunyan pictured Christian as having a great burden of sin upon his back. When he came to that place called Calvary, that place somewhat ascending, what happened? The burden rolled away. It was gone, remitted, dismissed, released from him, sent away into the wilderness forever. It's gone, it's not ours. As far as our eternal acceptance with God is concerned, he says, there is a people without sin. That's what he's saying. They're gone. Gone, gone, gone. All my sins are gone. What a testimony. What a blessing. You couldn't buy it. You couldn't merit it. You couldn't work for it. You could never produce it by any ritual or religious means. But God gives it as the free gift of His grace. I remove them forever. Transgressions forgiven.
You've been been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.